The Lord be with you. We think we are satisfied with partial assumptions, but Jesus keeps us hungry for the truth that makes us whole. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, to explain, I want your help for a moment, if you will. I have a sign that I'm going to ask you to read. Would you please, maybe on the count of three, we could all read it aloud, yeah? Okay. One, two, three. Now, what I thought I heard you say was, I love Paris in the springtime. Is that what you said? Yeah. Except if you look closely, that's not what the sign says. It says, I love Paris in the springtime. The is repeated in there twice. But it turns out our brains are either lazy or efficient, depending on your perspective. And we can take the sign down. It's all right. Thank you. So our brains just look at the words long enough to get the basic gist, and then it says, oh, I know what it's talking about, and it fills in the rest for us by making an assumption about what the sign says. But that assumption is only partially correct. And the same thing happens not only when we read signs. We think we are satisfied with partial assumptions also when we read Scripture. Today I read from Luke chapter 6, and you heard Jesus say, blessed are the poor, and woe to those to you who are rich. And my bet is many of us had our brains fill in for us what Jesus was saying. I think many of us thought we heard Jesus say, ah yes, the poor are going to go to heaven, and the rich are going to go to hell. But let us not be satisfied with partial assumptions. Let us be hungry for the whole truth of what Jesus says. So if you want, you can even pull out your bulletin here and take a look at the text. I'm going to start at the bottom of the gospel on verse 26, when Jesus says, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. Why? Because that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. There's no threat of damnation there. There is simply a statement from Jesus that says, if everyone likes what you're saying, you're not telling anyone the truth. Come on. And then one verse up, right, Jesus says, woe to you who are full now. Why? For you will be hungry. And woe to you who are laughing now. Why? Because you will mourn and weep. Now, it could be, it doesn't say why. Jesus doesn't say why these folks will mourn and weep or be hungry in the future. It could be because divine judgment is coming. That is an option. But it could also be simply a commentary on the cycle of life. That for everything there is a season, that this too shall pass, that every down has its up and every up has its down. It could be. But if you go one verse above it, when Jesus says, woe to you who are rich now. Finally, Jesus gives us an explanation for that woe. Why does he say, woe to you who are rich now? Because you have received your consolation. The woe of the rich is not the fires of hell. The woe of the rich is that they are consoled now. And you might think to yourself, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being consoled? What's wrong with being satisfied if you're rich? It's the same thing that's wrong with being satisfied by thinking that sign said, I love Paris in the springtime. It's being satisfied with a partial assumption. But this time, the assumption is not about a sign or even about Scripture. This time, it's about life. And when we are satisfied with a partial assumption, we miss out on the whole. To be consoled with our wealth now is to be satisfied with locking our doors at night and not to be hungry for a reality in which there is no theft. To be consoled by our riches now is to be satisfied that our neighbor is hungry, and to not be hungry ourselves for a world without poverty. To be consoled by our riches now is to be satisfied going home at the end of the day, looking at our car, looking at our TV, looking at our bank accounts, and being satisfied with the emptiness that we feel in spite of it all, instead of hungering for relationships that might demand more of us, but leave us feeling full. The woe of those who are rich enough to be consoled now is that they are satisfied with the world as it is and think it is all there is, and so they do not hungry for the world which will come in Christ. To what shall we compare people who are consoled with their riches now? They are like folks who go to an Italian restaurant, and when they hear that there's free unlimited breadsticks, they laugh and rejoice and they stuff their faces and they become full on breadsticks. But when Jesus brings out the main course of the kingdom of God, then they weep because it smells delicious. But they are already full, and so they have no room for it. And an hour later, when the simple carbs of that bread breaks down, they find that they are hungry again. Unlike those who feasted on the kingdom of God and now are satisfied for eternity. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, those who are reviled for Jesus' sake, because they are not satisfied with the world as it is. Instead, they are hungry for the world that comes in Christ. Today's the Super Bowl. All sorts of fun commercials happen today. There's one in particular I love by Dos Equis, one that's trying to convince you that the world's most interesting man jumps out of a plane and he wants you to stay thirsty, my friends. Today, I am here to tell you that the truly most interesting man in the world jumps out of a tomb, and he wants you to stay hungry, my friends. Hungry for the truth, the whole truth that is Jesus and the life that comes with it. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Why? Because they want it. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Why? Because you are not satisfied with this world as it is. And when Jesus comes with the kingdom of God, you will be ravenous to receive it. You will be filled for eternity. Blessed are you who weep now. Why? Because when Jesus comes inviting you to turn this world on its head, you will have nothing to lose but your tears, so you will go gladly rejoicing into the kingdom that God creates. Blessed are you when people revile you and hate you, when they exclude you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Why? Because you are not satisfied to assume that the leaders of this world will fill you. And instead, you hunger for the way of Jesus, and you follow it wherever it leads. Blessed are you, for surely your reward is great in heaven. And now I want to pause right there, because my bet is, once again, your brain has tried to fill you with an assumption. My bet is, when you heard your reward is great in heaven, your brain said, what that means is when you die, you get to go up to the pearly gates, and there's a bunch of clouds, and you're going to get a harp and a halo. My bet is that's what your brain assumed and tried to fill in right there, because that is what our culture teaches us to assume. But do not be satisfied with partial assumptions. Do not be satisfied with partial assumptions that tell you to experience the kingdom of God, you have to abandon this body and this earth. Instead, stay hungry, my friends. Stay hungry for the whole truth, the truth that is in Jesus, the truth that is Jesus. For Jesus teaches the opposite of this assumption. Jesus teaches, yes, about rewards in heaven, about storing up treasures in heaven, but the place where we receive those rewards, those heavenly treasures, is on earth. Jesus has come not to take those of us who are on earth up into heaven, but to bring heaven down here to earth. In our Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Heavenly Father, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." The book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, it describes the fullness of God's purpose by describing the city of God descending from heaven to reside here on earth. Our ultimate hope is for a bodily resurrection like the one Jesus had, that we might live in paradise with God, but that paradise is heaven on earth. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul stakes the entirety of his faith on this bodily resurrection. Why? Because Paul knows that for us to receive a bodily resurrection is to be set free from a false choice of saying, either this world is all we get, we best be satisfied with it, or we have to wait famished to die to experience the feast of God's kingdom. The bodily resurrection is a promise that the kingdom of God is for our whole selves. It is for our bodies. It is for this world. And that means our bodies on this world can experience God's kingdom. Perhaps not all of it, but a taste. In Jesus, we have a foretaste of the feast to come. In Jesus, we receive in this life a bite of God's kingdom to whet our appetite and keep us hungry for what is yet to come fully in Christ. Stay hungry, my friends. Stay hungry because Jesus shows us what this kingdom of God looks like. Next week, he will tell us how we live into it. But this week, he shows us. Now, perhaps you were satisfied when I read the gospel lesson. Perhaps you were satisfied just to hear the words that Jesus said. Stay hungry, my friends. Stay hungry for his actions. Stay hungry for his life. For Jesus is the resurrection. Where he is, we catch a glimpse of God's kingdom. In our gospel lesson today, before Jesus preaches, it tells us what Jesus does. And what it says is that he has around him gathered a large crowd. And in that crowd, there are people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Sidon, for those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, you may remember Jesus preached about God helping a woman, a widow, from Sidon. And when Jesus preached about God helping this widow from Sidon, his hometown tried to throw Jesus off a cliff for it. Yeah? Sidon, it's the home country of Jezebel. It's a land of Canaanites. The people of Sidon have been at the throats of the people of Israel for hundreds of years. And yet here in Christ's presence, we catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God where ethnic and racial enemies are together as one in Jesus. It says that the crowds around Jesus, they come to be healed of their diseases. They have unclean spirits possessing them. And it says they crowd in trying to touch Jesus. You have to understand, this is a culture where it is thought if you are impure and you touch someone else, your impurity will rub off on them. And so people, they try to push others away who have problems, but Jesus, he invites them in. Their impurity doesn't rub off on him. Instead, his purity rubs off on them. It says that great power goes forth from Jesus when he touches them. He heals not only their bodies, but their souls. He heals them not only as individuals, but as a collective. He heals the body of Christ by ending the divisions of stigma and ostracization. And Jesus does all this not on a mountain, but it says on a level place. Literally on a place where no one is higher or lower, but everyone is on the same level playing field. This, brothers and sisters, is a glimpse of God's kingdom, where Jesus gathers all people together, where Jesus heals not only our bodies, but our souls, our society, where Jesus makes us whole as the whole body of Christ, the living resurrection, a glimpse of God's kingdom, a foretaste of the feast to come. And so, my friends, may we not be satisfied. May we not be satisfied with the partial assumptions about what this life has to offer us. Instead, may we stay hungry. May we stay hungry for the whole truth that is in Jesus, for the truth that makes us full and sustains us now and forever. Amen.